Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti, Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sri Gaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radhashama Sundar Gopa Gopinath, Shamakund, Radhakund, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Navadweep Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Jamuna Mani Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Gopremanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. We're in the third canto. We're on the chapter of Lord Brahma's prayers for creative energy. That's chapter 9. And today our verse is text number 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam, we can say this together. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam udirayet nasta prayeshu apadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttamashloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and to Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator, by regular attendance on classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the personality of Godhead. All that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of God, it is established as an irrevocable fact. Text number 5. Yetu tadiya charanam buja. Yetu tadiya charanam buja. Yetu tadiya charanam buja kosha gantam.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ye tu tvadiya charanam buja kosha gandham. Ji granti karna vivarai shruti vata nitam. Ji granti karna vivarai shruti vata nitam. Bhaktya grihita charana paraya chatesham. Bhaktya grihita charana paraya chatesham. Napai shinata hridayam buruhat swapumsam. Na pai si nata hridayam buruhat swapumsam. Ye tu tvadiya charanam buja kosha gantam. Ji granti karna vivarai shruti vata nitam. Bhaktya grihita charana paraya chatesham. Na pai shinata hridayam buruhat swapumsam. Please chant. Shruti vata nitam.
Bhaktya grihita charana paraya chatesham.
Bhaktya grihita charana paraya chatesham.
Na pai shinata hridayam buruhat swapumsam.
Na pai shinata
hridayam buruhat.
Charanam buja kosha gandham. Ji granti karna vivarai shruti vata nitam. Bhaktya grihita charana paraya chatesham. Na pai shinata hridayam buruhat swapumsam. Ye tu tvadiya charanam buja kosha gandham. Ji granti karna vivarai shruti vata nitam. Bhaktya grihita charana paraya chatesham.
Na pai shinata
hridayam buruhat swapumsam.
Ye tu tvadiya charanam buja kosha gandham.
Ji granti karna vivarai shruti vata nitam.
Bhaktya grihita charanam
paraya chatesham.
Na pai shinata hridayam
buruhat swapumsam. Ye tu tvadiya charanam buja kosha gandham.
Ji granti karna Shrikana Vivala Shruti Vatamitam Bhaktya Grihita Charana Paraya Chatesham Na Pai Sinata Hridayam Guru Hat Sapum San.
Yea,
those who,
to,
but,
Tvadiya,
your,
Charana Ambuja,
lotus feet,
Kosha,
inside,
Gandham,
flavor,
Jigranti,
smell,
Karana
Vivarai,
through the channel of the ears,
Shruti
Vata Nitam,
carried by the air of Vedic sound,
Bhaktya,
by devotional service,
Rihita
Charana,
accepting the lotus feet,
Paraya,
transcendental,
Cha,
also,
Tesham,
for them,
Na,
never,
Apaishi,
separate,
Nata,
oh my Lord,
Hridaya,
heart,
Amburuhat,
from the lotus of,
Svapumsam,
of your own devotees.
The translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Oh my Lord, so this is Brahma speaking, and he's praying for the inspiration, for the direction from the Lord, so that he can do his innate desire, fulfill his innate desire to create the universe and all the situations for the persons, situate them properly and put all the planetary systems in the proper place. So here's his prayer. Oh my Lord, persons who smell the aroma of your lotus feet, carried by the air of Vedic sound through the holes of their ears, accept your devotional service. For them, you are never separated from the lotus of their hearts. One more time. Oh my Lord, persons who smell the aroma of your lotus feet, carried by the air of Vedic sound through the holes of their ears, accept your devotional service. For them, you are never separated from the lotus of their hearts. Omagina timirandasya jananjana salakaya chaksur umiditam jena tasmai shudurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I am indebted to him and beg for service life after life, because it's a debt that one cannot ever repay. Hare Krishna. So this verse is very interesting, just the verse itself, obviously. So persons who smell the aroma of your lotus feet. So one would think one would have to be very near to those lotus feet in order to smell that aroma, right? Just like now we're having our gardenia season. Well, it's the end of our gardenia season, but luckily now there's these beautiful mogra flowers that are coming in. So in order to smell them, you have to be right near them. But there's an exception here that's stated right in the next phrase. Do you remember what it is? It's still up on the board. Ah, too bad. Oh well. Do you remember what the exception is? How do you smell the aroma of the Lord's lotus feet if you're not near them? Carried by the air of what?
Vedic
what
sound.
Air? Yeah, there's air being carried right here. The air of Vedic sound. So therefore, we can always, and that's the point, that one can always be connected with that aroma of the Lord's lotus feet, because we can always hear or try to vibrate that Vedic sound, which will connect us to the lotus feet. So then, for them, those people, you are never separated from the lotus of their hearts. So it's a heart-to-heart connection. So interesting. So here's Srila Prabhupada's purport. For the pure devotee of the Lord, there is nothing beyond the lotus feet of the Lord. And the Lord knows that such devotees do not wish for anything more than that. So someone who's come to the point to understand the personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, and to develop their relationship with the Supreme Lord, the taste from that experience is so sweet and so fulfilling and so fragrant that one never wants to be separated from that and never wants anything else but that. The word two specifically establishes this fact. The Lord also does not wish to be separated from the lotus hearts of those pure devotees. So that's also very interesting and encouraging for all of us also, because and Krishna says this in so many different ways throughout the Vedic literature, and as one makes their endeavor to come close or to approach the Lord or to worship his lotus feet, or what makes our endeavor to remember the Lord reciprocates with that endeavor. So therefore, that endeavor is very, very important. Do you remember what Krishna says about endeavor in Bhagavad Gita, some of the things that he says about endeavor? Endeavoring to reach the Lord's lotus feet. Could you say that a little clearer, please? And this endeavor, the endeavor to come closer to the Lord's feet, there's no loss or diminution, nothing. You're never the loser. Just like we make so many endeavors in our lives for so many things, some of our bare necessities, some of our extra things, or whatever. And, you know, unless the endeavor reaches its full fruition, you hardly get any results from it. But every endeavor that we make in attempting to be Krishna conscious, attempting to remember Krishna, attempting to distribute Krishna, every endeavor that we make, there's no loss. And it's eternally in the bank account, as been stated previously many times. So that's a really good deal. We're always looking for a good investment. How can we ensure that as one ages, one is financially situated? I never used to think of that till about 2 years ago, and I thought, oh, yeah, gee, I should have started that earlier. But anyway, but the difference is that Krishna is always taking care of his devotees, always arranging things perfectly. Sorry not to get distracted on that. But investment, right. So unless we make our investment in a secure account or whatever, there's not always a chance for a good return, right? But whatever we invest in devotional service, it's never lost, even if we don't make 100% advancement, whatever little advancement. So that's encouraging. And the other part that's encouraging is that the Lord also does not wish to be separated from the lotus hearts of those pure devotees. How sweet is that? That the Lord, that's what attracts the Lord. Love attracts the Lord. And by that love, he's attracted and he's giving his love and the devotees are reciprocating or trying to reciprocate. Just like it's explained in Krishna book, that the wives of the queens of Indwarka, they're cleaning the walls and the palaces and they're cleaning so many things, even though it's not dirty, as opposed to my house. Even though it's not dirty, because when the Lord sees them making that endeavor, he smiles and becomes pleased. And seeing that beautiful smile on the Lord's face makes them happy. And then the Lord sees that their happiness and his happiness increases, and it's ever increasing in that way. Ananda Buddhi Vardhanam, that bliss of devotional service, of reciprocation, is always increasing, always. Okay, that is the transcendental relationship between the pure devotees and the personality of Godhead. Because the Lord does not wish to separate himself from the hearts of such pure devotees, it is understood that they are specifically dearer than the impersonalists. So this is a continuation of the subject from the previous verse that Maharaj spoke on yesterday, when it was talking about, one of the things that it was talking about was the difference. Well, one of the subjects that came up in the discussion was the difference between impersonal realization and personal realization. And then specifically there was a discussion on the difference between Brahmavadis and Mayavadis. So it's a when you do a search in the Veda base for Brahmavad, you don't get a heck of a lot of hits. There's not a lot of definition or discussion on Brahmavad. But when you type in Mayavadi, Prabhupada has a lot to say about that. But the difference that was discussed, particularly at the end of the class yesterday, was the Brahmavadis, their understanding, their level of understanding between Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, those three levels of understanding, their level of understanding is they're thinking that Brahman realization is the highest. They accept the personal form of the Lord, but they think higher than the personal form of the Lord is the impersonal manifestation of the Lord. And therefore, they are not offensive because they accept that the Lord has a form. But the Mayavadis, they can't accept the form of the Lord, and they're thinking that if someone is claiming or if the Lord comes or whatever, that his form is Maya and it's all illusion. So it's a subtle but very important difference. So therefore, in the example of the Kumaras, who got to smell the fragrance of the Lord's lotus feet, when they traveled to the Vaikuntha planets and tried to get into the palace, when the Lord came, because I'm sure you're familiar with this story, how they weren't allowed entrance into the last gate, they were totally offended by that. But when the Lord came before him to try to dissuade or disarm the controversy that was there at the door between the Kumaras and the gatekeepers, Jai and Vijay, then the Kumaras got to smell the fragrance of the tulsi leaves that are always on the Lord's lotus feet, mixed with the sandalwood, mixed with the fragrance of his lotus feet. And that alone was the reason for their change of heart. They became attracted to that and purified by that, and could appreciate the Lord in his personal form and the reciprocation as higher than Brahman realization. Okay, continuing on. The relationship of the pure devotees with the Lord develops because of devotional service to the Lord on the authentic basic of Vedic authority. And that's the key, or one of the keys here. On the authentic basics of Vedic authority. And this is, again, stated in the verse. How is it that one can smell the fragrance of the Lord's lotus feet? They can smell the fragrance of the Lord's lotus feet through the channel of the ears by hearing that Vedic sound. And by hearing that authorized Vedic sound, that's experiencing the presence of the Lord and these different features. So what is significant for us is that means that we all, each one of us and every person, everyone, has that opportunity to experience that flavor, that fragrance of the Lord's lotus feet. We just have to put ourselves in contact with that Vedic sound. Such pure devotees are not mundane sentimentalists, but are factually realists, because their activities are supported by Vedic authorities who have given oral reception to the facts mentioned in the Vedic literature. So that's also another important point. Such devotees are not sentimentalists, but are factually realists, because their activities are supported by the Vedic authorities. So Krishna says in the 12th chapter, Gita, 5th verse, klesho dikaritas te sham avakta vyakta testa sam, that to make advancement on the impersonal path. Now, sorry, a little introduction, diversion right there, but Brahman realization is an authorized path for self-realization, but in and of itself, it's not the end. You're there. You're on the stairwell. That's another thing I was thinking of when Ragatmika Prabhu asked her question yesterday. Impersonal realization is like trying to, like Prabhupada gives the example of going up to in a skyscraper that has 100 floors, and you're taking the stairs, you're going up. So maybe you're on the 5th floor and you're thinking, oh, this is it. I'm here. I'm on the top of the sky. Well, you're on the way, and it's the way to get there, but you have to keep going further and further and clarify and purify your understanding and conception. So Krishna, okay, back to the 12th chapter, 5th verse, he says that it's possible to make advancement on the impersonal path. It's possible, but it's very difficult. It's very difficult. And why is it difficult? Because, and he explains in that very lengthy purport there, he explains it's difficult because we're embodied. So for an embodied entity to think of what it's like to be unembodied, Prabhupada said, even the language, even you have to twist your brain around to understand the language of the impersonal conception, what to speak of, what it's talking about, and how does one relate to that, and how does one develop, just like, we're so fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has introduced deity worship, you know, everything, but including the deity worship, because there we can fix our mind and our hearts and our desires on the beautiful form of the Lord. Every day, such a beautiful darshan. Every day, an opportunity to serve those lordships and feel their reciprocation from that attempted service. Just simply making garlands. It's the perfection of life. Congratulations, young ladies. It's the perfection of life. It's a simple thing. Anyone can do that. And yet, there are so many other things that one can do in the service of the deity, as in spread their glories in so many different ways, travel all over the world and convert thousands and thousands and do so many wonderful things. But even simple little things in relation to the Supreme Lord, by serving him like that. Just because I took this garland example, people who are involved in garland making and deity dressing, they're always absorbed in flowers. They go and somebody, they're seeing all. Now, to make little flower garlands is much more difficult than making the bigger flower garlands. Because not every flower works, right, Madhumati? Not every flower works for a little garland, and you want it to be just so. So anyway, you can always take your, perfect your darshan of the deities by looking at little details like that. The little garlands or the this or the that or the cute little... Did you notice the little bunny by Krishna and Balaram's feet? This half of the room is not a good noticer for the details like that. That half of the room does a little bit better. There's a cute little bunny. He happens to be yellow. And he's right up to little on Krishna's foot, on Krishna and Balaram's foot. I mean, why? And what is he doing? He's relishing the flavor of the lotus feet of the Lord, and Krishna's reciprocating. He's smiling. Okay, sorry, I'm going back to the purport here. Sorry. But Krishna says, 12:5, that there is possible to make advancement on the path of impersonal realization, but it's very difficult and much more conducive to realization, quick realization, and reciprocation from the Lord is the personal aspect of the Lord. The last paragraph of the purport. The word pariah is very significant. Para bhakti, or spontaneous love of God, is the basis of an intimate relationship with the Lord. And just a little something on that. In Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada talks about this spontaneous love of God, Raghunuga bhakti. There's the vidhi, the vaidhi, the rules and regulations which we're involved in now, practicing the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti, following the instructions of the scriptures in that way. And then, and we're doing it, why are we doing it? Because of the instruction of the guru. Because of the instruction of our spiritual master, we're rising early, we're attempting to rise early, we're attempting to chant our rounds, we're attempting to hear about the Lord regularly, worship Tulsi Devi, so many things are there. So when one comes to the state of, one comes to the level of advancement, of spontaneous loving devotion, there's a phrase there that they're beyond the rules and regulations. This is in the Nectar of Devotion, beyond the rules and regulations. But it's very important to understand what that beyond the rules and regulations actually means. Beyond the rules and regulations of spontaneous loving devotional service does not mean above or not following the rules and regulations, but the motivation that inspires one to do the things is different. For example, in sadhana bhakti, the motivation to follow the rules and regulations is because of the instructions from the spiritual master. But when one reaches the stages of spontaneous love, the motivation is love. So they're motivated by love, and that's why they're above the rules and regulations. But by that motivation of loving devotion, spontaneous loving devotion, they are actually, I think it's Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He explains that the rules and regulations then follow behind that devotee who's spontaneously attracted to the Lord. Whereas we're kind of like behind the rules and regulations, pushing forward, trying to get there. Okay, anyway, so that is the basis of an intimate relationship with the Lord. The highest stage of relationship with the Lord can be attained simply by hearing about him, his name, form, quality, etc., from authentic sources like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, recited by pure, unalloyed devotees of the Lord. So therefore, the highest stage of realization, the highest platform of devotional service can be attained by anyone and everyone who simply puts themselves in the pathway of the Vedic sound being discussed by the pure devotee. So it's available to everyone. It's the highest goal yet to be achieved. At the same time, it's easily accessible by everyone. No one is exempt. No one is barred from it, no matter how disqualified or unqualified they are. It's just a question of developing the desire to attain it. Any thoughts so far, discussions, comments? Ragatnika, she's our question giver. We should just give her the mic in the beginning of class so that you don't have to walk over there. Thank you.
So when you were discussing the Brahmavadis, I'm wondering how you said they accept the form of the Lord, but they think that that form has come from the Brahmajyoti, okay, or that the Brahmajyoti is high. Supreme. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that, I mean, how can they have bhakti? Is there bhakti there at all?
Because in every process of self-realization, in karma, jnana, and all of those processes, there has to be some element of bhakti. There has to be some element, but it's obviously not very great, you know. Or else they won't be able to do it. There has to be some element.
So are they called jnana mishra bhaktas? Or okay, Brahma.
Would you like to answer that part of the question, Prabhupada or Maharaj? Maharaj,
for an example,
thanks.
If you want to do, even if you are Brahma Kandis.
Maharaj, let's get Maharaj opportunity, and then we can go on. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Maharaj.
The yoga system, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Ashtanga Yoga, they are the different rung and the ladder. So all these processes supposed to be culminating in bhakti. But if one remains in karma yoga, doesn't go up, then he becomes a karma yogi. But for karma also to become perfect, or jnana, or astanga yoga to become perfect, then bhakti has to be added. Then it becomes perfect. Otherwise it is not.
Yeah.
Because to become perfect, all the other processes that depend on bhakti. But bhakti does not depend on them.
Bhakti doesn't depend on them. Yeah,
no,
thank you for that.
Bhakti is its own fruits. Bhakti is its own authority. Does not depend on the others' process. And one more point is, I've read in Bhagavad Gita, if somebody is reciting, taking the name Om, Then this is impersonal, one will go to Brahmajyoti. But if he's reciting Om, but thinking that is Krishna, then he can go
Thank you.
To Goloka.
Thank you. Prabhu Govinda Prabhu, would you like to add something or? Maharaj,
sorry. That's what Maharaj was just pointing out. The same section that I believe he's referring to, chapter 17 of Bhagavad Gita, where Om Tat Sat is being described, and then Om Ityadayatam, that verse ends with the Brahma Vadina. We're talking about Brahma Vadis. So that verse actually refers to those who chant Om, and it describes those who chant Tat and those who Sat. But those who chant Om specifically refers to them as Brahmavadi.
Thank you.
The question is, what bhakti that they take is as simple as this, that whether you are Karmakandi or Gyanakandi or Gyanajogi, to purify, you have to evoke Jaddapi anna bhakti kalau kartibva tada kirtanakya bhakti samjoga naiva. Jiva Goswami Pad quote this verse. He says, anything you do, you add bhakti. But question is, what bhakti they are doing? So to purify, they have to chant Om Keshavaya Namo, Narayana Namo, Madhavaya Namo. They cannot chant any other mantra to purify. So their bhakti is there, but their favorable mood and to please the Lord is not there. Therefore, it is not bhakti, pure bhakti, but it is bhakti is added in that sense.
Anyabhilasita sunyam. Yeah, they don't have that favorable attitude, and that's one of the definitions of bhakti. Thank you. Thank you. Malati? Hold on. Hey, it's coming. Thank you. As a person who listens from home often, it's nice to speak into the microphone. Thank you.
This is a question from yesterday. Right before class ended, Maharaj was saying that Sukadeva Goswami had impersonalism and or something like that. Maybe I'm... And I don't understand because Sukadeva Goswami was Radharani's parrot.
Okay, her question, in case some people didn't hear it, was from yesterday's class where she heard that was mentioned that Sukadeva Goswami was an impersonalist, and she doesn't understand because Sukadeva Goswami was Radharani's parrot. So Sukadeva Goswami was an impersonalist at a level of self-realized soul before hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, okay? From that's why he wouldn't come out. He was there within the room and he was happily staying there within his womb. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 16 years in the womb. Not everybody can relate to that, but I'm sure you can empathize with a person who has. Okay, 16 years within the womb. Vyasadeva gets all, you know, like, what am I going to do? So he goes to Dwarka and he brings Krishna, and Krishna assures him that I will protect you. So, and hearing the Bhagavatam from his father, et cetera, he comes to the level of impersonalism. So, back to the other nuance of your question is, if he was Radharani's parrot, why was he on the level of, because when people, because Sukadeva Goswami had a mission to fulfill, you could say, you know? Why was he here to begin with? You know, the whole arrangement was there so that he could ultimately speak the Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. So why? So we could be able to have that sound vibration go through the holes of our ears and we could actually smell the lotus feet of the Lord. So he spoke it for us. So they, those great souls like that who take part in Krishna's pastimes, they often have, you know, a specific role that they have to play. But being put in the material atmosphere, you could say, in the material world, to, you know, they get covered for a certain time. They get covered and they forget, and then it comes uncovered, and then they remember their mission. So it's not covered like our covering of ignorance. It's covered in a sense of it's not quite time for them to manifest the different parts of their mission, you could say. And just a little interesting factoid about that. Like Duryodhana, when you think of Duryodhana, you don't often think of some wonderful devotee. You know, you don't, it doesn't invoke warm and fuzzy feelings. Oh yeah, Duryodhana, he was so nice. No, you think XYZ about Duryodhana. But Duryodhana was a great devotee. He was a great devotee of Lord Balaram, Lord Sesha. And when the demigods approached the Lord to come down and stop the you know, the bellicose forces that were disturbing the earth, the Lord asked Sesha to also come, Balaram, you come with me, Balaram. And then Balaram's great devotee said, what am I going to do when you're gone? He said, oh, you can come. He said, you can come with me. You can be the son of a king. You can be the son of a king. And that's Duryodhana. So he had a role to play. And what is that? It adds to the spice of the act, of the rasa, the juice of the relationship. So there's always the, you know, the reason. So Sukadeva Goswami had a role to play at a certain point, and then he manifested. Long answer to a very simple question. Sorry, Jitari Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Oh, sorry. No, Stita D. Mooney first, because he's holding the microphone. And then you. Yes, Prabhu.
I just had a quick comment, but a question after that was, like yesterday we were talking about impersonals going to hell.
Put it closer.
Yesterday we were talking, I was listening in.
Yeah.
So, you know, but one thought that came is like for a devotee to conceive of merging and being, it's like hell.
Yeah.
So I guess it depends on the
And audience. Why is it like hell?
Because there's no opportunity for active service.
That's it.
It's
I
like
just wanted to make that
down.
Point.
It's like you're
because there's no
out.
Opportunity for
it's
service.
Like a little kid when
and
they
there's
go
no
into
reciprocation.
Time
yes,
like,
go ahead. Go ahead. Okay. You have to speak fast if you want to talk it with Steve DeMuni because he won't let you have a chance to get anything in. Go ahead.
It's like, you know, like a little kid. I was picking up the kids at summer camp yesterday.
Put it close to your...
When you put a little kid in time out, it's worse than hell.
It's worse than hell. Yeah, okay, got it.
There's no activity.
Yes.
But maybe they do go to that place beneath the ground as well. But one thing about... it depends on which one we're talking about. But delete that one. But the Brahmavadi and the Mayavadis.
Yeah.
So the Mayavadis, you know, I get a sense that along with the gods, there is this god and it's just no person, impersonal. They think they are that god. And, you know, they just have to realize it. And now they're in Maya. And once they get out of Maya, they realize they're god. But with the Brahmavadis, it seems not, that's, they don't quite have that, the Brahmavadis, they don't quite have that edge. I don't know, because you said you didn't find as many. It's more of a passive thing that the highest realization is.
Yeah, I don't have a very deep understanding, but I'm sure somebody would have a comment. Anyone want to make a comment about that? He's asking about the edge, the difference between the Brahmavadis and the Mayavadis again. It's an important thing. It's a subtle difference, but it's a big difference.
Yesterday we talked about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
We could talk about it again, no?
The book. The realization was on the internet, so.
You can look at 10th Canto, 14th chapter, verse 32. Ho Vagyam, Ho Vagyam. Nanda Gopa Brajastinam Jat Mitrani Paramananda Purna Brahma Sanatana. So when we accept, we also accept origin of everything is Brahman. But this is the definition. Purna Brahma Sanatana, who is playing in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, is Purna Brahma. We are not saying that Brahman is not origin. Yes. But they do not accept that. They accept this Brahmanahi Pratishta Aham. That I am the base of Brahman, so they do not see that way. They say this is the origin. Okay. So those who accept impersonal Brahman origin, they have a different category, like Brahma Kumari. Anyway, we don't have to categorize that. But at least the Brahmavadi and Mayavadi both accept the origin is impersonal. Those who accept origin is impersonal. At the same time, the eternal form of the God also the personal form of the God, also eternal, they are called Brahmavadi. They are not offender, like four Kumaras, Durvasa Muni, there are many others. Was that Ashtabhakra? Prabhupada said Ashtabhakra Muni tried to establish that point, but he could not make it. But that's how Prabhupada said. So the Mayavadi, they never consider, they consider almost like pantheism, that everything origin is Brahman and there is no eternal form of God. If you have access of 7.2.6, Hiranyakashipu says that God gave up his merciful nature and now he took the, to favor the demigod, he took the animal form, which is Varahadev, by the help of material nature, Maya. So there, if you look at the commentary, Prabhupada gave a nice commentary, also every acharya says that Mayavadi always believes that there is no eternal form of God. All the form of God is made by Maya. Period. Now, question is, Prabhupada put another, in lecture I remember hearing, Prabhupada say, so the Brahman came and took a form of a pig and eating stool. This is his lila. This is nonsense, disgusting. So that's why you condemn. They are offender. There is no question.
There's a real emphasis that they're God and they just have to realize it.
Who is God?
With these Mayavadis.
No, there's one type of God. No, there are four types of Mayavadis.
Well, I'm sure there's unlimited types, but yeah.
No, but not unlimited types, four types.
Yeah.
One who thinks that there is no such thing actually, like, you know, khatakas, khatakas. So, another is like, that moon is there, but if you look at every pot of water, there's a moon reflecting. But if you put it upside down, actually there is no moon. So there is no such thing as you. There's a one group, they literally believe there is no such thing as you. Just because you are put into this situation, you are thinking you are there, you exist, but actually you do not exist. We don't agree with that, but that's how they come up. This is one group. Then there is another group that when you saw that in the dream that the lion attacked, I'm just giving you some example. But when you wake up, actually there was no lion. And that attack was false. This world is false. So within them there is a many groups like that. At least four groups Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives. And there are some group who accept that, yes, I do exist as a Brahman, but I mean, Brahman is covered by Maya. Wait a minute, how Brahman can be covered by Maya? So that's also another hodgepodge.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm just thinking,
want to
ask.
Good. Thanks. Jitarani, do you want to just ask your question?
Jitari,
yes. Sorry, the wrong one.
Sorry.
Right letters, but in the wrong syllables, sorry.
Mine's a little more simple. Okay. So, actually, that word in there, aroma, you know, about Krishna's feet. So, I was wondering if you ever heard of the aroma of Krishna's tilak. Do you know that? What that is?
I haven't heard of that, but
I haven't. Well, I didn't know about it either until my daughter and her husband they named my it's her second name, Kasturi.
Kasturi.
Is the fragrance of Krishna's tilak. So.
Thank you for adding that. And on that very pleasant personal note, thank you very kindly for your attention. Glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hari Bol.